Over the Christmas period, how many of you enjoyed the December period in the stuff that happened with us as a church? Yeah. I enjoyed it particularly. It was so great to be in our own facility over this December period and to be able to do the things we did. It was a privilege. Great just to see people looking in and people bringing friends. And yeah, the focus of that time, as it is all the time, or should be all the time, was Jesus. And we preached into the thing of Jesus being the Logos, or the person, the God who'd come in human flesh, the incarnation, the wonder of that, the wow of that, why he came and what that means for us. And then we looked on the carol service on the 23rd of December at Christ the Light. And we kind of married up two statements that Jesus says about himself, that he is the light of the world and he's the way, the truth, and the life. Yeah, and those of you here will remember that. That as the light, he comes to show the way. As the light, he comes to reveal the truth. And as the light, he comes to bring the life. And we preached into that on the 23rd. And I want to develop that this morning in a slightly different way. But obviously it's important we understand this morning that Jesus is our source. Yeah? He is our source of all of the light. He is the light. But when he comes into our lives and the light is turned on, he wants to change our identity so that he actually says of us, you are the light of the world. And so in John 12 and verse 36, you don't need to turn there, but Jesus says, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. And this thing of identity is so key, folk, that we know who we are. It's not just believing, but becoming. And living in the light of who we are. Just turn to the person next to you and say, you are a son or a daughter of light. That's your identity. And one of the things that we're going to come back to again and again this year and into our future is this issue of identity. You know, right throughout the New Testament, Jesus in his ministry, Paul in his letters, they are trying to establish and bring the people of God back to this thing of who you are, who I am in Jesus Christ. Because the enemy always tries to take us out of that true identity. We need to live in that reality. That we don't just believe in the light, but I am the light because Jesus Christ is living in me. That's my identity. So Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, he reminds them of their identity and says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Do you notice that what he's saying there? He's not just saying that we are to, he's not just saying that we walk in the light, but he's saying that we are the light. We once were darkness, now we are light in the Lord. That's our identity, saying remember who you are and then walk it out. Now, I'm going to be talking a number of things this morning about walking things out, but folk, it comes out of knowing who we are. I'm a son. I'm chosen. I'm called. I belong. I'm accepted. I'm part of his family. That's who I am. I'm a son of light. And so Jesus is the light of the world. But let's just turn to Matthew chapter 5 and verses 14 to 16. And that's going to be kind of the key scripture for this morning. Jesus is the light of the world. But he comes to his disciples and he says to us this morning these words. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they, people outside, may see your good works and glorify, notice these words, your Father who is in heaven. You see, one of the things in Matthew's gospel that Jesus was seeking to do in his teaching and in his on-the-job training with his boys, his disciples, was he was seeking to give them a radical new picture of who the God of heaven was. And this was the radical picture. He is your Father. Your identity is a son of the King of Heaven. A son of the Creator. A son of God. A son of light. A son of life. And I want you to reveal that, he's saying, that identity to the world. Will the real church please stand up? Will the real you come forth? And so the title of this message is simply this morning. Arise, shine, you are the light of the world. And so I want to look at, it's the beginning of a new year. And I want to look at five things that light does that God wants us to be and to grow in. Five areas. And I'm going to use the acronym LIGHT, L-I-G-H-T. And five things that God, areas that God wants us to grow in. He wants us to grow it as L, leaders. Light shows the way. That's what leaders do. Turn to the person next to you and say, you are a leader where you are. You see, friends, as soon as you have the name Christian, Christian, that word means little Christ, little anointed one. It means that you have the Holy Spirit, the greatest comforter, encourager, God himself on the inside. If I can use it without being irreverent, you have the greatest person, guide, sat-nav on the inside to lead you, to guide you in every situation. The ultimate leader lives inside you. Therefore, you are a leader, whether you are male or female. Hello. And God wants us to step forward. Leadership is simply being out in front. That's all it is. I'm getting ahead of myself right now. So leaders, he wants us to grow as leaders, all of us. He wants us to grow as illuminators. He wants us to grow as growth givers. He wants us to grow as hope bringers. And he wants, as we do all of that, we will grow in transforming our community, our friends' lives, our workmates' lives, and we will be transformed ourselves to be transformers. So let's do these one at a time, and let's talk about leaders showing the way. And let's just be very, this is a very practical message this morning at the beginning of 2013. And if you like, it's taking all that we've spoken about Jesus over that December period, and so he's saying to us, now go and you be that. Amen. And how do we do that? So if everyone is a leader, every believer is a leader, how do we live purposeful lives in 2013? And there's two texts I want to refer you to, because actually leadership has to do with who you are following. You know, that old game we used to play we still occasionally play it when we're on holiday. You know, and we're going out for a walk and the kids will say, okay, let's do follow my leader. And whatever they do, you've got to do, and you almost fall off a cliff, you know, if you're following the wrong leader, you know. But it's imitating what the person in front is doing. But friends, it is true biblically that your leadership is only as good as the person you are following. Jesus models that for us. Everything he did, he is the greatest leader that has ever walked this planet. And the reason for that was he was following somebody else who was ahead of him, and that was his Father in heaven. It's a dangerous leader who is not accountable to another person. We cannot afford to be loose cannons. We'll end up rowing our own oar in the sink rather than being part of a team and following God's will for our lives. Jesus was the greatest leader because he followed the leader, his Father. And so his goals in life were set on a daily basis, and this is where I'm going to with this, by being in the presence of the Father. And friends, I have to say, standing before you this morning, this is an ongoing challenge for me in my life. But it's a challenge we need to rise up to. Because you're not going to go, and I'm not going to go, further, farther, deeper, broader, whatever term we want to use, in my relationship with God, in my relationship with my wife, in my influence with my children, in my impacting the leaders around me and the church that I lead and the other leaders in the city, unless I'm prioritizing this thing on a daily basis. You know, I've been preaching for 30 years now. I can, if I want to, get up on a Sunday morning and I can wing it. Because I've been doing it for so long. I still get nervous, though. So I wouldn't do that, just by my makeup. But I cannot afford to do that, friends. If I want to actually, first of all, honor God, honor yourselves, and do what he's called me to do. And therefore, what it requires of me is not just study preparation, preparing a passage for a Sunday morning, but being in his presence on a daily basis. And I'm challenged by that. I'm being honest with you this morning. I'm challenged by that. That's where it's always been at, where it always will be at, and we've got to make time for that. That's got to be our priority. That's why Jesus was so effective. Because he followed the Father's lead, but he made time for it. So here's the thing with leadership. We didn't get to our two scriptures in Luke 9:51. Well, you can just make a note of it, Luke 9:51. But I do want to get to Luke 9:23 quickly. Luke 9:51 describes how Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem. He was just resolute, that's the word. You know, when you begin a new year, they talk about having a new year's resolution. Yeah, the word resolute means to be determined, to be unflinching in your focus. It means to not waver. It means to make your mind up. It means I'm going to put some things in place and I'm going to stick to them. Resolutely. It says in Luke 9:51 that Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem because he knew that's where God was calling him to. And friends, this morning is not about a new year resolution. It's about resolving to do things for the sake of Jesus and the kingdom. And a new year is a good place to be reminded of that. Luke 9:23 says this. Jesus says, if anyone desires to come after me, follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So here's the practical. I want to suggest to you that for 2013, you make a daily checklist. Have a daily set of priorities, but don't make them too many, because we don't want to be, you know, don't want to do something that's going to crush us or is beyond us. So you could have, say, three things, three priorities. Keep it simple, keep it straightforward, and keep it doable. And I can guarantee that even those three will stretch you. Because life's like that. But we need to set those priorities in. So what would be the priorities for me? Number one, spend time in the Word of God and prayer. In other words, lead myself. The hardest form of leadership is self-leadership, and yet it's the most important. Because if you can't lead yourself, if you can't discipline yourself, if you can't devote yourself, you will not lead others anywhere at all. So that's where it begins. The second thing I want to do on a daily basis is show my family I appreciate them and love them and lead them, encourage them, and open doors for them. Now, that sounds a bit of a mouthful, doesn't it? That's going to stretch me. We decided to do something new in December. On Christmas Eve, we were inspired a couple of years back by some friends of ours, Gert-Jan and Leah, who were with us in the beginning of December in Holland. And they told us that they've had a bit of a tradition over the years. Well, on Christmas Eve, as a family, and their children are getting older now. In fact, the one's got a baby. Yeah, that's right. He's a granddad, Gert-Jan is. And on Christmas Eve, they get together as a family, and they've written letters to each other. So the dad has written to the wife, the two girls. I don't know about the son-in-law, possibly as well. Yeah, part of the family. And each member of the family writes a card. You know, it doesn't have to be a piece of literature or a long essay. Just it could be a small thing, you know. And we decided to do that this year, and share it. And it was interesting. Lorna and I were the most emotional of the four. You know, when I got to Lorna, I kind of blubbered my way through it. But you know, friends, it was an amazing thing of just opening up our hearts to each other and expressing appreciation and love for one another. You know, when God the Father looked out over his son and said, "You are my beloved son in whom you are well pleased." I don't imagine he was kind of sort of looking out from heaven with an Anglican voice, you know, "You are my beloved son. In you, I'm well pleased." No. There was pathos in there. There was emotion. Where do we get our emotions from? God. There was heart in there. "That's my boy, and I'm proud of you. You've got what it takes. You're going to go forward." Yeah. There was passion there. So this year, I want on a regular basis, I want to express appreciation and love for my family. The third thing I want to do on a daily basis is equip the saints. What do I mean by that? Simply by making a call, sending a text, maybe an email, but a word of encouragement, just a scripture, just something that God gives me for somebody in the church. And just say, "Yeah, thinking of you, praying for you." Some of the guys in the church are really good at that. Keep going with that. That's something that I want to go for on a daily basis. Leading myself, leading my family, and equipping others. And friends, as we prioritize and do those things, I want to challenge you to nail three priorities like that for your day this year. Go home and think about it. Because as we do that, that's where it starts in being the light of the world. You see, what we do on a daily basis will naturally translate into our lives. If you want to live purposeful lives, then get each day sorted. Second thing, God wants to enlarge us as illuminators. You know, one of the most challenging and encouraging things about light is this: it shows things as they really are. And when I was preaching on the 23rd, I said, Jesus as the light reflected the glory of his Father positively and challenged the condition of our hearts negatively. In other words, his glory exposed our darkness, exposed our sin, exposed our weakness, exposed our frailty. That's what light does. It brings truth onto a subject. And friends, how do we become greater illuminators in 2013? I want to suggest to you that we do it primarily by taking hold of this book, which is the searchlight, the spotlight, the torch that leads the way. Psalm 119 and verse 130 says, "The entrance of your words, Lord, give light. It gives understanding to the simple." It gives understanding to people, to everyone. It brings wisdom and clarity. Yeah, the word of God, we know that scripture well, don't we? In Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." But in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, it talks about the word as a sword, and it's also a spotlight that discerns the thoughts and intentions of our hearts. That's the incredible power of the word of God, friends, that God wants to illuminate our lives. You see, whilst we have Christ the light living in our spirits and in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, there's a lot of illumination that still needs to take place in my mind, my emotions, and the choices I make on a daily basis. Yeah? He wants to bring light into all of those areas. It comes primarily from opening up our hearts, our minds, our emotions, and our choices, our wills to the Word of God. This is the ultimate will in the entire universe. We have it in our hands. God wants to put it into our hearts and our minds and our wills. And when we do that, we will walk out the light that we've received having been in His presence and fed on His Word. So this is the burning question for 2013 in this area. The burning issue is this: what am I going to do to spend more time in the Word of God this year? That's it. Each one of us has to answer that. Because the degree to which we spend time meditating on, thinking on, allowing the Word of God to wash over our lives and to enlighten our lives and to quicken our conscience and to illuminate who God is and for us to change our mind about a whole lot of things so that God can work more powerfully through us. And that word change of mind simply means repentance. See, as we respond to God, as we turn to Him to take hold of what Gareth's contribution this morning, we don't become stiff-necked or hard-hearted. Friends, it's so easy to become hard-hearted. How does something get hard? You just leave it for a while. You know, an apple, or maybe that gets a bit soft on the outside. But things become calloused. What was that?
Concrete.
True. Beware of concrete hearts. But things creep up on us through complacency, through compromise, through casualness, and there's just a crust that can start to just form over our hearts. And before we know it, we're hard of hearing, and we wonder why faith is a little bit on short supply. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Friends, we know the Scripture, we know what the Scripture says, but we need to be living in the reality of it to then go out and speak faith into people's lives. Second Timothy 3:16-17. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out. I love that. That's what Scripture does. It's light. Light travels in straight lines. It straightens us out and teaches us to do what is right. It is God's way of preparing us in every way, fully equipped for every good thing God wants us to do. The third thing is growing, enlarging as growth givers. You know, light always brings life. Yeah? I mentioned in my preach on the 23rd of December that, you know, that principle is everywhere in creation. Things thrive in the light. Things grow in the light. And so God wants us as light to be growth givers to others, to be imparting growth to others. And again, that begins with us in 2003. Lord, what areas do you want me to grow in 2013, I should say, not 2003? How do you want me to grow in 2013? And some of the contributions this morning have highlighted some of these things. But three areas I want to encourage us to focus on in this year of growth. Number one, character. Character. Somebody once said that character is what you are in the dark. In other words, what you are on your own. What God sees in your heart. God wants us to mine our character. Character is the foundation for everything that we do in ministry and life. It's the root system. It's the rock. That's what character is. And so I want to make it practical. Ask this question. When you think about the character of God, think about perhaps the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And go through those nine fruit, or if you like, nine flavors of fruit. Go through those nine fruit and ask yourself this question before the Lord. Lord, which of those areas do you want me to grow in this year? Love? Joy? Contentment? Patience? There's a big one. Perseverance could be part of that. Goodness, kindness to others. Compassion could be thrown in there. Being faithful and committed. Gentle. Maybe I've become a bit, you know, harsh. And self-control. And there's other aspects of the life and the personality and the character of Christ. It's a good thing to do. So I've thought about this a little bit, and one of the areas I'm looking at God extending me this year is in the area of joy. Yeah, I want to become a more joyful person in 2013. Sometimes I take myself too seriously. You know, like the guy said, don't take yourself too seriously. Nobody else does. Yeah, I honestly feel challenged that God wants to release more joy through my life this year. And he wants me to enjoy him more. He wants me to enjoy my family more. He wants me to enjoy the church more. He wants me to enjoy people more. So what's he saying to you in the area of character and the fruit of the Spirit? Another area which I'll be vulnerable in as well is the area of work ethic, which would be to do with self-control. God's challenging me in that area. You need to establish a stronger work ethic in your life, Malcolm. So what is God challenging you in terms of diligence, faithfulness, joy? For some of you, it may be that you've got to overcome the worry, anxiety. You've got to learn to be content in who Jesus is. Character. Secondly, gift. God wants us to develop in our gifts. Extend your gift. Enlarge your gift. All of us are gifted. But God wants us to get hold of the ore and use it. God wants to take that which he's given to you. There's no prizes for burying your gift in the ground. In fact, that's putting it mildly, according to Jesus. You know, I get pretty nervous when I read that parable about what happened to the guy who just went and buried it in the ground. He ended up, if I read the plain understanding of Scripture, he went to a dark place forever. We need to be the light that's releasing our gifts, that's polishing up our gifts, that's taking hold of the new ball that God is giving us, polishing it up, shining up, and releasing it into the lives of people. Letting it loose. And thirdly, works of service in the church. The third area. How can I grow in that area? Extend myself further in areas I'm involved in. Offer myself to serve, to minister. Availability in new areas. Maybe even start a new ministry, pioneer a new area of mission. Yeah? Friends, we need to be open to what the Holy Spirit wants to do through you and me. And build on that. And as we grow in those areas, and as we impart growth to others, the wattage level, the power level, the light is just going, it's increasing and increasing. Number four, hope. Would you agree that light brings hope? I remember when I used to drive into Waitrose in the winter and used to go onto the top floor of the car park. And it was around about this time of the year, January. And I'd arrive there about 7:30 and there would just be a slit of light on the horizon. And I would just wait there. And I'd just see the light just come over the skyline there. Just absolutely stunning. And I would think, we're past the shortest day. We're on the other side of the shortest day. The days are getting longer. There's hope. Summer's coming. Yeah. Light does that. Friends, we have the greatest sun, S-U-N, in our hearts, and he never sets. We have him, Christ in us, the hope of the glory that is to come. And Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, there are three hopes that we have. Christ in us, the hope of glory, the hope of the gospel in our hands, and the hope of heaven that we are destined towards. Man, we are the most hopeful people on the planet. And friends, there is so little hope out there in our society. So many people who are hopeless. You are the light of the world and therefore you are the hope of the world. Let's go out there and bring hope in 2013. And so here's the challenge on this one. I told you it was going to be practical this morning. Let me throw this one out. Think about it, pray about it. And if you want to reduce the number, that's fine by me. But here's something that I'm throwing out for myself in 2013. I believe God's challenging me on and wants to challenge us on. And it starts today. Think about and ask God, Lord, direct me to three people, just three, this week, who I can bring hope to. Yeah. Imagine if we did that. Imagine if every one of us at 3CI brought hope, the sunshine of Jesus Christ, lifted up the head, whether it's through scripture or word, encouragement, or just sidling alongside. Whatever, in whatever way we bring hope, we lift the head, we encourage. Imagine if we did that with each of us with three people throughout the whole of this year. We would touch between probably 3,000 and 6,000 people. You are the light of the world. You are the hope for those 6,000 people. And so am I. And as we all get into the boat on the oar, and as we engage with our great King, who is the light of the world too, and gives us light, and we pray with expectation, Lord, send me out this week three people. You will meet three people who you can bring hope to. And you know what? That old phrase, some of those 3 to 6,000 people will be in this church by the end of the year because hope springs eternal. Something of eternal life will come as you sow the word. Yeah, come on now. As you sow your life and as you go out with expectation into your community. And the end result will be number five, T, we will be transformers. Transforming our city, our neighbourhoods, etc. The light's going on. Have you ever come into Edinburgh at night? Coming in on that A702 and you just see the lights over the city. Or if you fly in an aeroplane, you just see the lights coming on. Many times I've done that. God looks over Edinburgh and he says over his church, you are the light of this city. That's what Jesus said. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine. Each one of us here this morning is a torch. But we have the power of choice to set ourselves on fire or not. By what we do on a daily basis. By how we follow Jesus and therefore lead others. By what we do with this flame in our hands. It's called the Word of God. By growing and extending ourselves in our character, in our gift and in ministry in the life of the church and in mission into the community. By being purposeful in bringing hope to people's lives. So I want to wrap up what I'm preaching about this morning by saying out of that passage, let's just, if we can just flag it up again, please, Andrea. There it is. Thank you. Three things in closing that I believe God wants us to do this morning. And I'm going to do something different this morning. Kind of a prophetic response to God out of this message. He wants us and is challenging us to stand up, to step up expectantly, confidently. Not this little light of mine backed into a corner behind the couch. No, stand up on the mountaintop where you can be seen, on the lampstand, Jesus says. You know, he's actually telling a bit of a joke there. Yeah, he's saying, he says, guys, do you seriously think that you would put a lamp under a cover? Don't be ridiculous. It goes on the lampstand. What is he saying? He says, your identity is light. Take the cover off. Step up expectantly. Step up confidently. Mike, there's a job for you coming this year. And it's not going to be in the distant future. You know that, I know that. But God's providing you with that work so that when you, as you step in to that workplace, whether it's where you are now or wherever else, you can be confident you're a light in that place. Yeah. And that's true for every single one of us here. Zare, the same for you, my friend. As the Lord opens up those doors for you. He opens the doors so that we can be confident in stepping in. I'm going to be a light in this place. That's who I am. You know, it's not... You know, when you switch a light on, it's on. There's no doubt it's on. It's a light. That's the purpose of the light. Our function, our purpose, friends, is to shine. So step up expectantly. And then secondly, stand out visibly, boldly. We're not the invisible church. There used to be a church that was called that in South Africa. Always puzzled me. I understand maybe something of that. We are to infiltrate society. Almost in that sense, a quiet revolution. Jesus did something of that. But actually, he actually was very loud. And he declared who he was, who God was. And yeah, they knew who he was. See, your identity must always lead to proclamation. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Man, don't you love this? You're royalty. You're holy. This is who you are. Not going to be one day when you're in heaven. This is who I am. I'm a son. I'm a saint. I'm a soldier. I'm a servant. But there's all royalty attached to it. I'm holy. I'm beautiful. I'm special. I'm precious. And Peter says, because you're all of that, the reason that you're all of that is so that you may proclaim the praises, the valor, the majesty, the manliness, the glory of God who brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Step up expectantly. Stand up visibly and boldly. And finally, stand together purposefully. How do we get that out of the text? Jesus says, you are the light of the world. And if you have an old King James, you'll see it's ye, Y-E, are the light of the world. It's you in the plural. It's not just one person. It's the whole company of believers. God wants us to plug in. God wants us to get into the boat, and he wants us to stand up together. And as we do that, man, the wattage just increases of our effectiveness and influence into the community. So here's what I want to do this morning. I don't want to be funny, but I just felt, if you've got high heels, you might need to take off your shoes. And don't do this because I'm doing it. But I feel God is saying, be who you are, or you're not it. Put another way, do what you are, or you're not expressing it. You're not revealing it. And so, are we going to step forward in confidence? Are we going to stand up with our head above because Jesus has called us to be the light? City set on a hill. And are we going to do it together? If there's a yes in your heart this morning, this is what I want you to do. Simply that. Say yes to God. You know, I read a... you can do that anytime you like if you want to do it. Say, yeah, I'm responding to you, God. I want to step forward confidently. I want to stand up visibly. And I want to stand together purposefully. You know, I read in my devotions the other day. Yeah, watch, make sure it's stable. Yeah, we'll let you go on this one, Dorothy. You know, God asked his prophets and his people to do some strange things.
Prophetic response.
Prophetically. One of the things that I read it in my devotions of the day, he asked Isaiah to go naked for 3 years. Well, I mean, as best as I can read the text, that's what it means. And then if you read what the interpretation was, it's pretty much that. I mean, I thought, gee, Lord, I'm so glad we don't hear much of that happening these days. But God has asked people to do some strange things over years. I remember hearing how the Argentinian revival started a number of years ago. A lady, they were in a prayer meeting, and God just spoke to a lady and said, take that stick, whatever it was, lying nearby, and bang the table. I don't know how many times it was, 3 times or 4. And she did that. And that was the beginning of the revival. Went on for years in Argentina. And so we're just responding to God this morning, saying, yeah, Lord, we want to be everything that you want us to be. Yeah. No fun and games. It's response to him. Mm-hmm. And so, Father, we just want to ask God that, yeah, we want to repent of where we've been in the shadows or undercover, or held back, or kind of been in defensive mode. And Lord, we want to stand up. We want to stand out. And we want to, God, step forward confidently and expectantly at the beginning of this new year. Won't you help us, Lord, as we have physically, as it were, stood on our chairs today and said, Lord, we want to respond to you. God, won't you help us in our daily lives, in these areas of growth, in the word, to just stretch ourselves, Lord, and to let loose the full glory of Jesus through our lives. I thank you that you've blessed us with every spiritual blessing, Lord. I thank you that you've put your light in us that no amount of darkness can put out. And Lord, I pray that we would just rise with that boldness of who we are, that you would equip us, that we would be going and doing things in life, in service, in ministry, that we'd be taking hold of new oars this year, that we would be working in team with others around us. And God, we would just see lives being changed, people being saved, and our Father in heaven being glorified. Because that ultimately, Lord, is the purpose of it all, that you would be glorified. And so, Lord, we say, Lord, come and work through us this year. We want to be the wire that you are burning through, that switches the light on. We want to be plugged into you. We want to be in fellowship. We want to be a hot coal that is igniting others around us. And so, Jesus, we make ourselves available. And we say thank you. And Lord, I thank you that, yeah, for, that we will bring hope, not to just tens, not to just hundreds. But I'm putting out my faith, Lord, that we will bring hope together, corporately, to thousands of lives this year. Through words of encouragement, through drawing alongside, through praying, through touching, whatever it may be, Lord. Lord, make us into that lighthouse that radiates your life and brings hope to many lives in this city. In the name of Jesus Christ. The people of God said,
Amen.
Amen.